2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. God has a purpose for our life, and that purpose is to be a vessel that is usable for God. You know, everybody's life is some kind of a vessel. The Bible says in a great house, there are vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You know, in every house, you have your best china. You have the best glasses. You might even have some silverware or some silver goblets. I don't know if you do or not. Maybe not. But you know, in the house, you have also have garbage cans. You know, the house, your house has all sorts of vessels. And every person, their life is ultimately some kind of vessel. Sad to say, there's some people who make the mistake of being a vessel for the devil. Judas. There had to be someone who betrayed the Lord. That was in the plan of God. There had to be someone who was foolish enough and selfish enough and greedy enough to be Satan's vessel. And Judas was that man. And the Lord says, woe to that man. Oh, how foolish. There are some people who are vessels unto dishonor. Their life has a negative purpose. I mean, it has a negative result. Because they were a vessel for that which was corrupt. They were a vessel for that which was bad. They were a vessel to bring that which is against the Lord and against the plan of God. You know, everybody is a vessel. The Bible says that in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood, hay, and stubble. Wood and earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. You know, when our life is over, the measure of our life will be the degree or the amount in which we were a vessel for God. You know, it's interesting as you look at 2 Timothy. You read a lot of different people's names here. verse 17 says, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Here are two men who were vessels unto dishonor. They were used to spread false thinking. They were used to discourage the work of God. They were Satan's vessels. In chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses." Here's some men that withstood the man of God. And they were vessels unto dishonor. And you think of the whole book of 2 Timothy. It's talking about the last days. Notice 2 Timothy 1:15, "This thou knowest, that all they that are in Asia be turned away from me." What a statement. How much time did the Apostle Paul spend in Asia? How much time did he spend at Ephesus? How much time did he spend time in those Galatian cities? And he says, "Know this, that Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Here are vessels unto dishonor. And you notice it's interesting what it says here. It says, verse 24, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil." And here we find a parallel truth. There are those who have allowed themselves to become caught in the snare of the devil. And they are not vessels unto honor, but they are vessels unto, you know, dishonor. Now, so we get a vision of the purpose of our life. The purpose of our life. God has this treasure in earthen vessels, the Bible says. You know, God has given us a life so that God can do something in and through us. That's his plan. And he has a plan that our life would be a life unto honor, that we would be a vessel unto honor, and that when our life is all done, there would be an evidence, there would be results, there would be influence, there would be the work of God done through our life by God himself. We're vessels unto honor. When you think of the book of Acts, you know, it says the Acts of the Apostles. But you know, really, the Acts of the Apostles is emphasizing that these are the acts of Jesus Christ that he did through his apostles by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who did it. It's the act, really, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the acts that he did through the apostles by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Timothy is talking about here, is that our life ultimately is made to be a vessel. A vessel for God, a vessel for which God to accomplish his will on this earth. Now, when we get a hold of that, we get a little bit of right focus and we begin to realize that Satan also has a plan. And Satan has a plan to waste that vessel. Satan has a plan not only to use that vessel to hinder the work of God or to be a detriment to the work of God. He also would love to have people do nothing, you know, with that vessel. Be unproductive in that vessel. Waste that life on things that don't count. You know, how do we look at life? Do we look at life as a limited opportunity to be a vessel for God? Or are we just kind of lost in our own life, and we are lost in what our purpose is? You know, there's a lot of things that kind of can focus on that. You know, it's really kind of an attitude. It's really a perspective. You know, we could look at, for instance, we could look at something like the cleaning list. And we could say, oh man, I don't have time for that. I got other things to do. Or we could say, hey, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for my life to be a vessel for God's use. An opportunity for my life to be a vessel for God's use. I think you understand what I'm saying. You see, God says that our life has been meant to be a vessel for Him. And we are to allow Him to use us as His vessel. And we need to have that perspective in our life. Now, you know what? We could look at our life and not see ourselves as a vessel. Boy, everything in life now becomes a challenge, doesn't it? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Why? Because we don't have the right focus on life. When life is all said and done, our purpose of our life is to be a vessel for God. And the amount in which we allow our life to be a vessel for God is really the conclusion as to the success of our life. You know, we're all going to die. Boy, it's too bad they have to call Joe Raines an old man. But you know what? We're all going to die. And you know what? I don't think Joe can do all the things he used to do. But you know, whatever stage of life we are, our life is going to be, the success of our life is determined by how we use our life at that stage of our life to be a vessel for God. Now we get the concept of the fact that it is our life that God wants to use as a vessel. We understand some very important principles in verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. A vessel unto honor. Now, you know, I like glass. I like glass glasses. I like glass jugs. I would prefer that over plastic any day. And you know, there's something about glass. And the comparison between it and plastic is, you know, you just don't know how much of that plastic is coming off or coming into whatever you are using it for. You know, you put something hot, you know, into plastic, and you just wonder in the back of your mind, how much of that plastic is getting into this drink? You know what I'm saying? And, of course, they've outlawed in California, they've outlawed certain plastic baby bottles because the plastic is contaminating the drink of the little babies. And but you know, you think of a vessel, and when you think of a vessel, you think of something that's clean. You think of something that's usable. You think of something that doesn't interfere with what you are carrying, what you are doing. And this principle being a vessel is a very important principle in the Bible. Because that's what we're supposed to be, as a vessel. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Now, one of the great motivations of being right with God and having a clean life and getting sin out of your life has to do with being a vessel for God. You know, if you don't want to be a vessel for God, you know, why would you stop smoking? Why would you stop drinking? You know, it's a part of being a vessel that God can use. I remember Chuck Crofty's testimony. He was a Marine. He just had recently got saved. He was a rough guy. And he was witnessing to a man and telling about the Lord. And the man said to him, says, I don't think you have anything to offer me. A man that's a slave to a cancer stick certainly doesn't have anything to offer me. Well, Chuck Crofty realized that his cancer stick was hindering him from being a vessel for God. You know, a young person that begins to get a hold of this principle of their life is to be a vessel for God. They begin to realize that it is sin in our life that hinders us from being a vessel unto God. Sin in our life. And separation, one of the great starting points of separation in a person's life is when they realize that their life is to be a vessel, a clean vessel, to be used for God. And then they begin to realize, you know, I got to get this out of my life, and I got to get this out of my life, and I got to get this out of my life. If I am going to be a testimony, and I'm going to be a vessel for the Lord. And so the Bible tells us there's a purging that needs to take place in a person's life. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. All right? So you know that we have a nice glass milk jug at our house. Okay? Got a nice glass milk jug. And you know, I like to see that glass milk jug. I just love to see it shiny clean. And you know, it's shiny clean. Then you feel comfortable, you know, pouring some milk in that and using that as a vessel for that beverage. But you know, if you had a milk jug and it was full of mud, or it's full of dirt, or it's full of cobwebs, you know, I think you'd probably use it for something else, don't you? You wouldn't want to use it as a vessel for something that's precious. You wouldn't want to use it for a vessel for something that's important. You'd use it to, maybe you'd use it to, you know, put some water in it to take out to the chickens or something like that. But you aren't going to use it to put milk in. So he says that to be a vessel under honor, there has to be a purging that takes place. Now, this, again, speaks to the focus of our life. You know, let's put it down, you know, down home. Young person, you know, the young person that's thinking about his life being a vessel for God, you know what? That automatically eliminates a bunch of stuff, doesn't it? Right? You know what? It automatically eliminates the music, doesn't it? The wrong music. It automatically just gets rid of it. You know, there's no big struggle. That music's going to keep me from being a vessel. You know, and that principle, being a vessel, and that vessel has to be clean. That automatically deals with all sorts of worldliness. Has to do with the attitude of our heart. Deals with actions in our life. Because those things, those attitudes, those actions keep a person from being a vessel unto honor. In fact, obviously the inference is, if the vessel isn't clean, it's not going to be a vessel unto honor. It's going to be only can be used as a vessel unto dishonor. And so, what does it say? Now, this vessel that is clean, it can be a vessel unto honor. It can be used something for something that's important. It can be used for God. It can be used for spreading the gospel. It can be used for doing the work of God. It can be used something for something that's honorable versus dishonorable, taking the garbage out or the Satan. And it says, then it is sanctified. It's set apart for God's use. It's set apart for God's use. That's the kind of vessel God can use. And it says it is meet. It's usable in the Master's use. Our life as a vessel. Our life as a vessel. And so as a conclusion, he says, okay, let's flee something. There's some things that we need to flee. There's some things we need to get out of our life. It says, flee also youthful lusts. Now you think about that. Youthful lusts. Lusts that associated with youth. You know, there's some things in our life that we have to flee. Run from them. And of course, we live in a world of the flesh. We live in a world that everybody is trying to look young. You know, I wonder what's wrong with looking old. You know, what's wrong with the hoary head? You know, why does somebody have to pretend to be something other than who they are? You know, we got this this whole idea that everything in life is about being young. Well, the Bible says there's some things about being young that aren't too good. There's some thinking. There's some desires that fill the people of young people that really aren't very, very important part of our life. And they're all a part of missing the principle that our life is a vessel to be used for God. You know, what a wonderful thing when a young person gets it in their mind that their life is for the purpose of being a vessel for God. Their whole life is different. You know, they want to learn. They want to be taught. They want to develop abilities. They want to broaden their life to be the most usable possible. Well, it's really exciting to having the band in the academy this year. It's exciting to see the kids talk about using their instruments for the Lord. And it's exciting to see them develop. And, you know, the whole thing is based on the principle that our life and our purpose in life is to be a vessel for God. And because we're a vessel for God, we don't pursue empty and purposeless pursuits in life. But we pursue that which has meaning. We pursue that which we can use for God and which will be make our life a vessel. And that's certainly the purpose of the band program for young people and their parents to get a vision that, hey, you know what? I can use this instrument for the Lord. I can use it to worship God. I can use it as a way of being a blessing. I can use it in a way that will reach people for Christ, will minister to people. Oh, my life can be a vessel. And, you know, you think of it that much of the pursuits of life among young people is for themselves. And that's what it means to talk about flee youthful lusts. And much of society is based on, boy, I'm going to do these things and I'm going to give myself to this and that's really going to, and it's all about me. Short-sightedness. Lack of purpose. Lack of purpose. Be a vessel. Learn all you can for God. Develop everything you can for God. Develop your character for God. Your life is a vessel. Flee youthful lust. Flee that tendency for your life to be filled with play. Flee that tendency for your life to be filled with pleasure. Flee those tendencies of the world that mean nothing. Mean nothing. But then it says that there's a great need in our life to pursue something. There's a great need to pursue something. And the Bible tells us a list of things that we need to pursue. We need to pursue righteousness. We need to pursue righteous living. You know, we live in a day in which, be honest with you, that is mocked. That is mocked. To pursue after righteousness. And that the Bible is saying, boy, if we're going to be a vessel, and we're going to be the kind of vessel that God can use and use to the max, there's something that we need to pursue. We need to pursue righteousness. This makes us a vessel more usable unto the Lord. It says we need to pursue faith. We need to pursue faith. You know, faith is something that we need to pursue in our life. The Bible says there in Matthew 13, they did not many mighty works there because of what? Their unbelief. You know, it is a great need for each of us to be available to God, to have faith, to trust God for great things. Now we're talking about making our life count. Pursue faith. Pursue faith. Pursue that ability to risk, put your life at risk, your life on the line, to do that which is great and the things of God. You know, it takes faith to trust God for great things. You know, we talked about faith to trust God for missions. Well, you know, we can sit in the pew and we can say, well, they're just wanting money again. Or we can say, wait a minute, I need to have faith. I need to grow in faith. I need to be able to trust God that He can use me in a greater way. Our life is a vessel. And my life is to be used for God as much as possible. I need to have faith to be able to trust my life as a vessel for God. You know, faith is directly related to ability to act. It's the ability to venture out. It's the ability to risk. It's related to our willingness to invest our time and our effort and our future. You know, he says, pursue something. You know, if we're going to be a vessel, we have to pursue faith. That's an important thing. You know, as a lay person, need to pursue faith. That ability to trust God to use your life for great things. To make your life available and to allow God to use your life in things that are bigger than you and I. We all have to pursue faith. And so it says, if we're going to be a vessel, one of the things we have to pursue is faith. Charity. Charity. And of course, in this case, I like the translation, charity, because it speaks of that selfless love. You know, we can do things because we have to, or we can do things because we want to. We can do things for people because it's the right thing to do, or we can do things for people because we genuinely care. We could give to missions because there's a need for missions, or our hearts can be given, filled with charity, with the love for the souls of men. So we have to pursue charity. This love. You know, soul winning has to do with love. You know that? Soul winning can be an obligation. Or soul winning can be about love. It can be, oh, I have to talk to that person. I need to talk to that person. Or we can say, you know, I really care about that person. I really care about their soul. I really care about their eternity. You know, there is a definite pursuit in our lives, the Bible says, that we ought to pursue charity. We ought to, it says, follow peace. There's a pursuit here. There's a pursuit of our life, of peace, of being in the center of God's will for our life. Follow these things. All of them are part of being a vessel that's usable for the Lord. I think it's just interesting that this book about the last days and being faithful to God in the last days, that it highlights this principle for God's people. That God has a plan for us to be a vessel unto honor. And that we need to have that perspective of life in what is going to make our life count for God. You know, wasn't too long ago that I was in Budapest, Hungary. And I never can get the word right. Fevrosi or whatever it is, Baptist Church, was established. There's a lady that was just a few weeks ago, a homeless lady, begging on the streets. There was just a lady not too long ago, raised in a communist home, raised by atheistic parents, a university library, in charge of a university library. There was a couple men, and I think of Laos, and a life in which in and out of marriages, just a disaster of life with his children. And, you know, you could go through the whole list of people who were there signed this charter. And, you know, they had no idea what they were doing. I mean, they did to a certain extent. They were signing a charter to establish Fevrosi Baptist Church in Budapest. But you know what? They really had no idea that they were involved in the most important thing that was taking place in Budapest, Hungary on that day. No idea that they were involved in the most important thing that was taking place in that whole city. The establishment of a New Testament Baptist church, a lighthouse of God, a temple, a house of God. It's His body in that city, a spiritual living organism. A glorious church. They had no idea what they were doing. But in order for God to start a church, you know what? He had to have people who were willing to be His vessels. And I look at some of those people. the dysfunction of all of their life. Dysfunction, dysfunction, disaster. And God saves them. And He is going to use them to establish in that city something that in modern history has never been done before. Jesus building His church in downtown Budapest, independent, fundamental Baptist church. They didn't know what they're doing. They didn't have any idea that they were about the most important thing. I think of that going up to Naj Kanesha that very night and seeing that group of people in that city. That city in modern history has never had a New Testament Baptist church. Do you think that those people really had any idea of the importance of what is taking place there in light of eternity? No. And do you think that the devil would try to put all sorts of insignificant and trite things in their life to keep them from doing the most important thing that they could ever do in their life? Of course. Of course. I know we're exactly in the same spot in a different way. God needs vessels who are willing to do His work. As human beings, we typically have very little insight or idea of how important that our life is as a vessel for the kingdom of God. And the devil will put all sorts of things in people's lives. You know, I think of through the years, the different people that were in and out of this building. I think of the people that are in and out of this building and who had the opportunity of their life to do something lasting and significant and eternal. But they were so foolish to listen to the devil and to lose the opportunity to be a vessel for God. And everyone here tonight has that same opportunity to make our life count for eternity, to be a vessel for God. It's in so many different things and so many different areas. I remember as we established the church here, I would tell people, I'd say, when you come to Sunday night service, you're voting for the future of Mequonago Baptist Church. I says, when you don't come to church Sunday night, you're voting for its demise. What you do is determining the future of the work of God. Now, most people don't think that way, do they? Most people don't think of their life as a vessel that God has a plan for, has a purpose for. They get all mixed up in all these unimportant things about life and whatever, and they don't see their life as a vessel in the plan of God. And so the question is tonight, what is your life going to count for? What is your life going to count for? God's purpose for your life is to be a vessel that will count for Him. And the sum total of our life is really how much we have allowed our life to be the vessel that God can use to fulfill His work and His plan, and everything we do has an effect upon that. Whether it's the cleaning list, that's a vote for the future of this church. Whether it's working in the nursery, you know what? That's a vote. That's a vote for the success of this ministry. Whether that is going soul winning, whether it's coming to church, whether it's being a part of the missions program, multitude of things. It's all about, is my life going to be used as a vessel for God? So that His work and His plan can be fulfilled. When life is all over, that will be one of the great determinants if our life has been lived well or if our life will have been wasted. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You tonight for the truth of Your Word. And Lord, we've kind of come to the place where tonight we realize that every one of us, even here tonight, can be a vessel. And is called to be a vessel, Lord, for the spiritual advancement of Your kingdom, for the advancement of truth, for the advancement of righteousness, for the advancement of the New Testament church, for the advancement of all that You seek to do. And Lord, that challenges us not to hold back. It challenges us to be available. It challenges us, Lord, to be right with You. It also convicts us about wasting our life when we could be investing our life and using it. So, Lord, work in our midst. And I pray You'd help us to respond, Lord, to what You would have for our lives. Where our heads are bowed and eyes closed. What is Your view of life tonight, adult? What is Your view of life tonight, young person? Do you have the right view of life? Do you see your life as an opportunity to be a vessel, be used of God? Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, you know, Pastor, I've been holding back. I've been holding back. Maybe you can say, you know what, I've been pursuing my own things. I have not had the correct view of my life as a vessel to be used for God, available to God, usable for God, clean for God. And the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight about giving yourself anew and afresh. Maybe simply about giving your life, seeing the purpose of your life, that she can be a part of something that counts for eternity. And as a result of that, you can see that there's some things that you need to flee. They're wasting your life. Perhaps the Lord is speaking to you about the fact that there are some things you need to be pursuing, and that will make us greater vessels for the Lord, more usable for the Master's use. Just by an uplifted hand, say, you know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit has convicted me tonight, has shown me a truth in my life that I need to surrender to, give myself to the Lord, so that my life can be really, when it's all over, it could have been invested in something that has eternal value, lasting value. And God has spoken to your heart tonight. Anyone here tonight, God has spoken to you about your life as a vessel. Okay? Amen. Number of different hands. My life as a vessel to be used for God. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? Others? All right? Amen. God has spoken to me about my life being a vessel to be used for God. And maybe you've lost that vision for your life. And the Spirit of God is stirring you tonight. Anyone else? God is speaking to my heart. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Well, the first step in being a vessel for God is become His child. To turn from your sin, to turn to Jesus Christ, to save you from your sin and your sinfulness and give you a new heart. Now, that's the first step, becoming a child of God. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. And would you pray for me? Anyone here tonight, just raise your hand, okay? I see that hand. Anyone else? I need to be saved. I'm not saved. Okay, I see that hand. I need to be saved. And before I can be used of God, I need to be saved. Okay, I see that hand back there too. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Lord, now we pray that, Lord, you would work in our midst, even as we think of our life as a vessel for you. And Lord, you've done a work in many hearts. And Lord, we rejoice that you're a God who is a living God, who speaks to our hearts, who leads us in the path of righteousness, who seeks to do a work in our life and continues to do that throughout our life. And now I pray that you be glorified as your people respond to you, as they allow you to have more of their life to be surrendered to you and your plan for their life. And Lord, encourage those who have lost a vision, that they have a big purpose in their life, even though the devil may be distracting them from that and their importance even to the success of this ministry. And I pray for these little ones, Lord, that need to be saved. And I pray that, Lord, that you will show them their sinfulness and show them their sin. And, Lord, you would show them the Lord Jesus as the only one who can save them. And pray you'd work in their hearts. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.